God through his prophets, including Ezekiel. They turned a deaf ear. They lamented, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." They were in utter despair. Jerusalem and Judah were no more. They had no hope and they believed they had no God. The D words certainly set in. Disaster, defeat, dejection, discouragement, despondency, depression, desperation, disappointment, doom, and despair. Hope had evaporated. There was no reason to believe that their situation would improve. This is when Ezekiel receives this powerful vision we know ultimately of hope. The hand of the Lord comes upon Ezekiel, and the Spirit of the Lord takes him off to a valley filled with bones, dead, dry bones. What a dismal place. What did he think? God, I've given already so many dismal messages to the people of Israel, and they've not believed it. And now you've given me another one to deliver with all of these dead, dry bones. Surely, God, enough is enough. Can you imagine him thinking? What would he be thinking as he first saw this vision of this valley of bones, full of human bones, baked white and dry on the desert floor, it tells us. Apparently, like a large army, had been defeated here. Was Yahweh showing him the same valley where King Josiah lost to Pharaoh and Necho, where Judah had fought and lost? Perhaps Ezekiel was looking at the bones of his own countrymen. Wherever and whatever the valley, the symbolism of the bones is clear. Israel is dead and lifeless. Symbolically, the exiles were as dead as the bones seen in Ezekiel's vision. There's no way these bones could be revived. God makes Ezekiel walk among these dry bones back and forth. And as Ezekiel serves the gruesome scene, God asks him a surprising question. Son of man, can these bones live? Can these dry bones live? Of course not. End of story. In the Hebrew, the question is phrased in such a way that the only possible logical answer is no. No, God, these bones cannot live. They are dead. The very dry bones Ezekiel saw in this vision depicted a long period of death-like captivity for Jehovah's anointed. Yet Ezekiel replies, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. It's like, I'm not even going to try and guess here. God, you know. Ezekiel was giving God room to manoeuvre, but I'm sure he wasn't expecting what came next. God commanded him to prophesy to these dead bones, to talk to them. Can you imagine that? You know, sometimes we talk to ourselves or, you know, we talk to the tree or talk to the dog or... But to talk to dead bones. I can't imagine preaching to dead, lifeless people. I try to imagine myself behind this pulpit looking out at nothing but dry old bones. But of course I can't. You are all very so much alive. Not sure about awake, but yes, you are alive. I really can't, he says. I can't speak to these dead bones. But he does. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to those bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and then cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And as he's prophesying to them, what he is commanding actually comes true in his vision. Can you imagine it? First, he hears a rattling, a clinking sound as the bones begin to come together. And then the sinews and the flesh appear soon to be covered by skin. Although these bodies are no longer just dry bones, they are still lifeless. Then God tells Ezekiel to call the four winds to breathe on them. In verse 10, Ezekiel says, I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath Ruach in the Hebrew, came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. The prophecy is fulfilled in the very act of speaking it. The breath of life which comes with the four winds is the Spirit, and without the Spirit, as Ezekiel saw, existence is just flesh and blood. There is no life. But with God's Spirit, there is life. And there is nowhere and no time and no situation that can keep God's Spirit away from God's people, despite how they felt. As God then interprets the event for Ezekiel, the bones of the people of Israel, who will live again when the exile ends. The promise to Abraham will be fulfilled a second time with the return to the promised land, and the story won't end with the return to the land. The people will again know the Lord, as Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones that they would. The Spirit of God, God's breath, breathes life into these dry bones. In the exile, it seemed that God had been defeated, but the Spirit of God is with God's people in the most direst of circumstances. Sorry, I'm a bit dry. Drought and dryness. Our land is so dry at the moment. Drought, unprecedented fires, with such a dry and parched earth. We've seen loss of life, both human and our wildlife. We've seen many displaced as they've lost homes. It's been a tragic time. Sometimes our lives and our spirits can reflect the state of our nation. They can be dry and barren, parched or thirsty. Burnt out, exhausted, feeling wrung out. If you are feeling like that at this time, at the beginning of a new year even, it can be especially tough. All sorts of things can bring us to this place. Busyness, overdoing it, overcommitting, taking on too much can all cause us to feel empty, to feel dry and to feel burnt out. Perhaps we're like the Israelites in Josiah's time who forgot and lost the word of God, then so quickly forgot how to live until Josiah rediscovered that word. Perhaps we've forgotten about the word in our own lives. We've got slack in reading it, or have just ignored it. The word of God is powerful. It is life to us. It is alive and it is active and it is God's voice to us and needs to remain central in our lives, in our worship and in our church and in our homes. Or maybe we're just going through the motions as we read it. Maybe we need to take the time and let it read us. I think this story gets to us because life has set us down in a valley of dry bones more often than we would like. I can remember a couple of times in my life when just being spiritually dry, feeling like, God, where are you? There's nothing here. Praying was, I'd lost the energy, I'd lost the motivation and it didn't feel like it was doing any good. It was one time early in my 20s and I think it was almost probably like a burnout situation. And it took a long time to recover and it was hard because I felt so empty and hollow. Then later, I think when Dave died too, for a long time, it after grief can certainly cause us to feel like we're in a hard place. Is this ever going to end? Am I ever going to feel normal again? They are hard places to be in. Are you barely managing to walk along the cold, hard road of life? And finding yourself in a deep valley where everything around you seems to be devoid of life? Are you just going through the motions, wondering when you will ever feel really alive? Has there been just too much going on that you feel so overwhelmed and feel like screaming, God, enough is enough? I cannot keep living like this. Life can sometimes set us down in a place so barren and so difficult that we're not sure if we'll ever make our way out of it, feeling as though God has abandoned us when we need him most. Do you ever feel that someone you've been praying for since forever ago is further away from God than ever before, that they've gone too far away and it feels like they're beyond coming to salvation? You feel like, what's the use? My prayers are falling on deaf ears. God, it seems like you're not interested. Are you in the midst of family struggles, leaving you feeling very alone, powerless and helpless? It's hard watching people we love make destructive life choices and hurting. It's hard watching loved ones suffering due to ill or mental health. Some of us are getting older. Actually, we're all getting older, aren't we? And struggling not being able to do things that our body once could. You might often be in pain, weary, frustrated, and despondent because it's so hard to see it getting better. If you're grieving, as I said, the loss of loved ones, it can take a long time before you feel like you can really fully re-enter life and grasp all that it has to offer again. Sadness, lethargy, and apathy can easily become too familiar. Can dry bones live? Can our spirits be brought back to life? How often are we so very sure the answer is no, or not mine? So certain that we give up all hope. Living without hope is a terrible way to live. A valley full of dry bones is like a graveyard. Are you living in a graveyard of finances? Does there seem that there's no way out, that you're buried in debt? Have things gone wrong beyond your control? Does your marriage feel like you're in a graveyard? Does it seem hopeless? Is your relationship bringing heartache instead of joy? Do you believe there's no way it will survive with these dry bones of arguments, disagreements, and indifference? Discouragement is such a hard emotion to deal with. It's just there. You can't bounce back easily. I reckon one of the single greatest weapons that the devil uses against the people of God is discouragement. If you are discouraged, then more than likely, you're not praying much. You're thinking, what's the use? God doesn't hear. Probably you're not reading the Bible much. What's the use of it? God doesn't speak to me. You might not be tithing or giving as much as you might have once. What's the use? I can barely make it by now. You might not be coming to church as much, or it might not be as high a priority. What's the use? Nothing changes. I don't have the time. You may be losing sight of God's purpose for you, for your life, and for his church. Because of this great weapon of discouragement, statistics tell us that every month in the US, 200 pastors quit the ministry and 3,000 churches close down. Discouragement can cause the people of God to become downhearted, hopeless, despondent, and weary of godly living, and become like a valley of dry bones. In response to their lament, God revealed that this gloomy vision of bones actually contains a bright message of hope for Israel. They had earlier refused to believe Ezekiel's announcements of impending judgment, so now they were gobsmacked that he was making direct declarations of future blessing. It seemed to them impossible. And what they needed to be taught was that what is impossible with man is possible with God. Through this vision, Jehovah assured the exiles that he would bring them to life, lead them back to the land, and let them settle there. Moreover, in verse 12, Jehovah addresses them again as my people. He hadn't done that for a while. He declared, I myself, God, have spoken, and I have done it. And so this vision of hope came to pass actually 50 years later. In 537 BCE, God brought them to life and made them stand on their own two feet by delivering them from captivity and letting them return to Israel. A group of some 42,000 Israelites and some 7,000 non-Israelites left Babylon to return to Israel. Later, a second and a third group returned. They built their cities and their farms. They restored the temple. They once again became prosperous. A people who were dead like dry bones were once again made alive through the power of the Spirit. The word in verses 1 and 14 is translated as spirit. In verses 1 and 14, the word is translated as spirit. As breath in verses 5, 6, 8, 9 and 10. And as winds in verse 9. But in the Hebrew language, the same word is used every single time. Ruach describes the blowing of the wind. It speaks of breath or breathing. It tells us about the work of God's Spirit. And we have to conclude that Ezekiel's strange vision points to the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 2:7, as God created Adam in the dawn of creation out of the dust, he then breathed life into him and man becomes a living being. God-given life. Today the message is the same for us. Ezekiel knew the power of God transcends the power of the grave, of dead bones and of shattered hopes. You too cannot dismiss the possibility of renewal of life and of a certainty that the hard stuff will end. This same power was used by Jesus to bring Peter's mother-in-law back to life. And Peter was elated. Jairus' 12-year-old daughter and Lazarus from the tomb. And of course, Jesus himself rose from the grave. And at Pentecost, we know the Holy Spirit came with a loud, violent wind and God breathed. And they received the Holy Spirit and those disciples were transformed. No longer were they afraid or timid. They now had a boldness and all that was needed to fulfil the great commission that God had called them to. Ezekiel offers us a vivid reminder that God will not leave us forever lifeless and hopeless. The living God offers hope, life and redemption where there appears to be only brokenness and death. To an Israel and an Ezekiel who have watched the death and destruction of their land, their people, their city, and their temple, the vision of the valley of dry bones is a message of encouragement, of triumph, and of hope. It is a reminder that God is a life-giving God, and he wants us to truly live, not just exist. As John 10:10 says, the thief, the enemy, comes in order to steal, but Jesus, I have come in order to give you life, life in all its fullness. Are you settling for less than that? Are you settling for this is as good as it gets? If you are not calling or living as God has meant you to live. Job, amidst all his pain and suffering, declares, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." If it's all too hard, if you're feeling lifeless, hear the message of hope in Ezekiel's vision. Take some time out. Take some time to breathe. To breathe in God's love. To breathe in his peace, his hope and his presence. For he is with you. Psalm 31, 6 to 7 from the message says, "I hate all this silly religion, but you, God, I trust. I'm leaping and singing in the circle of your love. You saw my pain. You disarmed my tormentors. You didn't leave me in their clutches, but you gave me room to breathe." Just breathe. Take the time to breathe. As we finish, I want to set you a challenge. Ask God to breathe his life into your own personal situation in the coming days. But also ask him to breathe life into our body here. I know God is moving, but I want to be blown over by his spirit. I want to feel his spirit blowing. I want him to surprise us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to renew, to revitalize us, or to do whatever it is he wants to. Can I ask you to commit each day to praying for 1 month, very specifically, for God to move in us and through us through the power of his Holy Spirit? And let's watch and let's see what he will do. We will never know if we don't ask. Believe and expect him to answer, and expect him to breathe that new life into our lives. Please be looking out for those precious grace moments. In the coming weeks, we'll have a time to share what some of those things are. If God is moving, we want to hear about it. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your word and what it can teach us. Thank you for the miracle of life and for the gift of life in all its fullness as given through you. Lord, for those this morning who are feeling lifeless or as if they are suffocating and desperate for air, like their chest is crushed with the weight of life, Lord, give them a space to breathe. Give them time out. Renew them with your spirit. Lord, for those who are feeling rushed or stressed or overwhelmed, as they cry out to you, Lord, I need you, meet them, hold them, and remind them that they are your precious child. Oh Lord, may we find time and space to just be, to just breathe, to breathe out stress, to breathe in your peace, to breathe out worry, to breathe in your trust, to breathe out pain, to breathe in your healing, to breathe out fear, and to breathe in your presence. In the coming days, Lord, remind us to pray for your Holy Spirit to breathe freshness and life into our lives, both individually and corporately. And give us the eyes to see what you are doing and the ability to sense your Holy Spirit blowing across our lives and across our church, so as we might truly be able to fulfill the great commission that you've called us to love a hurting world. Renew us, O God, we pray. Just quietly now, as the musicians play, just ask God to renew you, particularly if you're having a difficult time or if there's some part of your life where you feel particularly empty. To breathe on us, to renew us, to refresh us, to do whatever it is that you want to do.